This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
New voices in your head.
It's radio.
Free
radio.
Hey everybody, and welcome to The Ruckus here on the Rabble Podcast Network. My name's Kevin McGowan. You know, sometimes inspiration comes from innocuous places. I had a particularly harrowing flight from London, Ontario to my home in Ottawa a few months back. The only solace I could find on that flight was the En Route magazine, the Air Canada magazine. They had a really cool article in there called Sonic Youth, actually, about the Beirut, Lebanon music scene. It was written by a woman named Shireen Saad, who is Lebanese, but is currently living in New York City, having lived in Montreal and a few other very cool places around the world. So I dropped her a note and I said, I really liked your article. I'm really interested to learn more. Can we do maybe an episode or two of The Ruckus featuring some of your musical buddies from Beirut? And she was just all over it. She was really intrigued. So great. And here it is. We're going to start this episode off with a really cool band called Mashra 3. And here's a track called Facetine out of Beirut, Lebanon.
تذكري لما قلتي لي انك راح تتزوجيني بلا فلوس وبلا بيت تذكري كنت تحبيني مع اني مش داخل دينك تذكري كيف كنا هيك تذكري لما امك شافتني نايم بيت اختك قالت لي انسى عنك واتفقنا نضلنا هيك بلا دور وطنطنت بلا كرافات وصبحية بلا ما لقيت بلا فضلاتي كيف نسيتي كيف نسيتيني ومشطيلي شعري وبعتيني عالدوام كيف بتمشطي مشطيني مسكتيلي ايدي وعدتيني بشي ثورة كيف نسيتي كيف نسيتيني
A little bit, I mean, we'll kind of start with the article, I guess. Okay. The article starts with, you're in this club called, and maybe I'm saying this wrong, BO18? How do you say it?
Yes, BO18, exactly.
Okay, so tell me a bit about BO18 and why you were there and the scene in general.
Well, BO18 is a landmark in Beirut, not only for its architecture. It was designed by Bernard Coury, who's an avant-garde architect in Lebanon. It's kind of, you could say, maybe the Rem Koolhaas of Lebanon. And it's on a site that is very problematic in terms of the politics of the country, because there were refugee camps in that area, and it's an area that's very kind of desolate. And he decided to actually build something that was referring to the war and to people hiding underground during the Civil War, which lasted, as you know, 20 years, and people were actually partying in the basements and in the parking lots of their buildings, because that's basically where they spent most of their lives when there were bomb alerts and when there was, you know, a dangerous period of time. And so he created this kind of a bunker-like structure underground, and when you drive there, you literally don't really see anything except for this kind of roof which opens up when you're inside the club. And it's kind of very futuristic, but it's also kind of, you know, a little bit morbid, but also very beautiful. And so it symbolizes perfectly the situation of, you know, the youth in Beirut and, you know, looking forward and trying to create things that are innovative, but also, you know, kind of reminiscing the heritage of the war. And so it's a club where a lot of the young people go to dance. I'm actually a little bit too old for that club now. The average age is 18.
Okay.
But that night we were there because the Scrambled Eggs, which is, I think right now, Lebanon's premier rock band, was playing a concert. And it was a very big deal for Lebanese music lovers and also for their friends that come from abroad, because it was during the holiday period. And during the holiday period, of course, Beirut changes completely and people come in from all over the world, literally, and it just becomes a living party. The whole city, you know, kind of lights up.
I bought you silver, then I bought you gold. Did what I was.
As many, you know, young people do, I go there, you know, I left the country very early on. I was 15 and I left for Canada, and I've been going back twice a year ever since, obviously, to see my family. And so it's, the situation is so crazy in Beirut because basically the young people all leave either to study or to work or, you know, to get married or to look for opportunities, the country, because the situation is so bleak. And so the country is basically empty of youth. And then during the holiday period, everybody comes back and it becomes right. a very different atmosphere where people are kind of talking about their experiences, you know, from all over the world, which I think is actually reflected in the music that we're listening to today.
Yeah, I think so. Especially, I mean, we're talking about scrambled eggs a minute ago. That's not, I mean, having never been to Lebanon, it's not necessarily what I would have expected. You know, like a loud kind of punk rock sound coming out of Beirut. Though at the same right. time, I guess it really shouldn't be too surprising because of the angst and the youth reacting to how they've grown up. How does a band like that channel that energy for its members and how does it connect with the audience there?
Yes, well, it's a very, you know, big and complex question, but maybe I could refer to a book I read not too long ago by a Canadian writer called Rowie Hage, and he's won a couple of awards for his book, The Nero's Game, which describes a couple of young men growing up throughout the Lebanese Civil War and the violence and the corruption and the craziness that they witness and how it affects their whole view of life and their outlook. And I was talking to Cherbel, the lead singer of the Scrambled Eggs, about this book, and I said, because I didn't go through the Civil War, and I said, you know, this book is really crazy, that the scenes that you see, you know, the violent massacres on the streets and all that. He said, no, that was it. That was exactly what we all went through during, you know, as we were growing up. And so these people were basically born during the war, and their whole childhood and their whole their whole teenage life was about, you know, bombs and people massacres. And I'm trying to say that, you know, during the war as a youngster, you weren't having a healthy, you know, regular life. You were basically constantly worrying about your life and your family's life and survival.
Right.
And so you're always hiding from whoever was the threat at that point. And so if you think about Chagrin Haber's music and Scrambled Eggs, it's very, it expresses, I think, a sort of a fragility, but there's a lot of violence in it. I actually find that the lyrics extremely violent, and the music is very angry.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I don't want to fall into the cliches of saying, oh, you know, the music is angry because, you know, they're in a war. But at the same time, when you talk to the musicians in Beirut, they all say that they feel trapped. They all say that they, you know, that they all have a sort of identity crisis, because it's also a city that we shouldn't forget. It's very much kind of trapped between East and West and modernity and tradition. You know, a lot of people, again, go and live abroad, and so the ones who stay in Beirut sometimes feel left behind, and they feel that there aren't that many opportunities for them. So there is a kind of a frustration and a sterility. And I think you feel it in the Scrambled Eggs music, and I think that's why people like it. But it's also just very good music, I think.
And that was Shireen Saad talking about Scrambled Eggs. Of course, you heard Scrambled Eggs tracked a few minutes ago called Silver for Gold. And that is it, my friends, for part one of our trip to Lebanon. Stay tuned, because in another few days, we will give you part two, featuring more of my interview with Shireen Saad, who is now based in New York City. And you'll be hearing a few other tracks, a couple from her cousin, actually. He has two bands called New Government and one called Ziad in the Wings. So you'll be hearing those very soon. So thanks very much for listening, and we will see you next time from Beirut, Lebanon, on The Ruckus.